Roberta Gately is an emergency room nurse at Boston Medical Center. That's one of her day jobs. The other is caring for patients in international emergencies, specifically in conflict zones, from Afghanistan to Iraq to the Sudan. And she's channeled those experiences into a debut novel called Lipstick in Afghanistan.
But it's called Lipstick in Afghanistan because it really is a bond. In Afghanistan, one day in the village of Bamiyan, I was heading into the clinic, and I wore the native clothes and had a veil on, and I felt a tug at my veil, and I turned around, and a woman in the full burqa was standing, and she pulled her burqa back over her head and pointed to her orange-tinted lips.
Gately tells the story of Elsa, a fictional nurse from Boston in her new book, who joins an international aid organization and travels to Bamiyan, Afghanistan, to work alongside local health officials. I recently spoke with Roberta Gately and the inspiration behind Lipstick in Afghanistan. And we started with the story on how she arrived at her first war zone nursing post.
I came home from work one night, a summer evening, and turned on the news, and it was WBZ TV news. And a reporter had gone to the Pakistan-Afghanistan border to report on the tragedies of the Afghan refugees during the Soviet invasion. It was late 1986. And he ended his series standing in a driving cold rain. And he was, as a reporter, he was well-dressed for the weather. And the camera panned in behind him on a group of refugees huddled together. And it panned in closely on one stick-thin woman and her two equally stick-thin children. And they looked right into the camera, and it felt as though they were looking right at me. And I sat up when he said they needed medical help. I wrote the number down. I called. And I was on my way not long after that. Mm-hmm. And it was the start, really, of a lifetime love affair with aid work.
Roberta, if I may ask, you know, I'm sure that millions of people saw similar images in the 1980s. We see them to this day on our televisions, in the newspaper. But I'll say we kind of enjoy a comfortable but sterile distance from the reality of those images. What do you think it is about you that made you actually pick up the phone and call, and then, as you said, just basically every year after that, go and do foreign aid medical work in conflict zones around the world?
I think part of it is that I, at the time, was an ER nurse at Boston City Hospital, now the Boston Medical Center. And in that ER, you really learn to do anything with whatever equipment is available, and you have a real sense that you can do things. And I think that it was that, and it was seeing those images on television. I'm not sure that I'm so different, but it was that my set of circumstances at the time, I knew that I could go. I didn't have any pressing connections here at home.
And your book, your main character in Lipstick in Afghanistan, Elsa, it's her first time in Afghanistan. So how much of, even though it's a different conflict, you know, almost a generation later, how much of your initial experience gets channeled through what Elsa experiences in the book?
Well, a lot of her first impressions.
She's
at the airport in Peshawar, and the soldiers are barking, and she comes into the heat of the city and just the chaos of where to go next. And then the crowds in the city streets, it really is Peshawar's Kipling-esque. In Afghanistan is almost biblical, women on donkeys, and it really is like stepping back in time.
Hmm. But at the same time, Roberta, obviously the things that Elsa is experiencing and the things that you experienced were very present, you know, and real, even though Afghanistan may have seemed very undeveloped. Elsa, the nurse in your story, she's got an interesting relationship with Ezat, okay. He's the head doctor in the clinic where Elsa mm-hmm. is assigned. There's a little passage about that in the book. Why don't you read that for us?
Okay, this is when Elsa is his first going to the clinic and meeting the staff that she'll work with. "Come, come," Hamid said. "You should meet the staff. They are all Afghan, but some, I think, speak a little English." He ushered her into a small office and stepped up to two people who appeared to be physicians. One was a pretty young woman named Leila. She was tiny, with sparkly eyes, dark hair, a sing-songy voice, and a persistent smile. She looked so happy, Elsa thought, unable to grasp why. Leila's husband, Ezat, a dour-faced man with a full beard and what seemed to be a permanent frown, was the other physician. Elsa wondered if Layla's constant smile was meant to offset Ezat's expression of choice. As that stood and spoke, his voice soft despite his scowl, "Why have they sent a woman, a nurse, here? It is an insult to me. What can you possibly teach us?" Elsa felt the color rise in her face and spread to her ears. Her voice sounded timid despite her frustration. "Aide de Monde has sent me here to work with you, not to teach you. In fact, you can probably teach me a thing or two." She paused and took a deep breath. "But I want you to know I am here to stay."
That's Roberta Gately reading from her new novel, Lipstick in Afghanistan. Roberta, you know, one thing that our producer Jessica Alpert and I were talking about a little bit before we sat down with you today is that just about every time medical workers go abroad to conflict zones, you know, they put a mandate on themselves to be separate and apart from the politics of the conflict, or even to operate regardless of cultural norms. That's got to be hard sometimes because, I mean, especially you as a woman in places like Afghanistan, where women are often not the first to be allowed treatment, how did you handle that?
It is hard. In Afghanistan, for instance, even since the invasion and the improvement in things like health care, women still suffer. They're still the last ones fed, the last ones in line for health care even now. And as such, every 20 minutes, a woman in Afghanistan will die from pregnancy or childbirth-related complications.
Because they're not getting medical care.
Because they're not getting medical care. And when they do, even in the clinics that are set up, it's expected that the children and men will always be seen first.
Did you adhere to those rules?
I actually didn't. And I don't around the world. It's not true just in Afghanistan. It's often true in many third world spots. When it's my clinic, and I'm seeing the patients, I see women and children first. Women love it. Men are not so crazy about it.
Isn't that a little dangerous?
No, it isn't, because I'm still nice to the men when I announce it, and the women are thrilled. You know, they have a real taste of being important, of mattering, to me at least, for that day. And the men understand that I'll see them. They might have to wait longer, but I always tell them it gives them a chance to talk, to socialize a little.
Is it really that simple? Because I wonder, because, I mean, you're in a conflict zone. Uh-huh. And then also, obviously, I hear that there's almost a conflict within yourself that you, by virtue of your training and your medical values, you want to treat everybody, men and women, equally. But that is not the cultural norm of the place that you're in.
Exactly. And I want to show them that women matter. And that's important to me. And I can tell you honestly, I've never gotten into trouble for it.
Roberta Gately, one thing which I find so remarkable is that you aren't just a nurse. You're a nurse at Boston Medical Center, right?
And I am.
These places that you visited around the world doing work, Afghanistan, Iraq, Darfur, as you've mentioned, I'm pretty sure that there are people from all of those countries who have come here to Boston, and specifically to Boston Medical Center, because they do so much great outreach work with refugees in the Boston area. So why is it that you feel like you need to go abroad when many of those people who are lucky enough to have come to America are right here who could benefit from your help?
And you're right, and they do. When I go for periods of time of 3 to 6 months and then have to come back, obviously, to work and earn money to support myself so I can go away again. I think that it makes my nursing care here not better, but somehow broader. When I meet the lost boys from Sudan, I know their story. I've worked with them in the Sudan. When I work with Afghan refugees or Iraqis who've been tortured or people from the Balkans or other parts of Africa, oftentimes I know their villages and I can speak to them at least a few words in their own language. Mm. And I think it's my experience around the world that fuels that.
Roberta, there's a question I want to ask you about the cost of all this. Uh-huh. Because, you know, I've spoken in the past with other doctors, uh-huh, mostly. You're the first nurse I've talked,
yeah,
to who's been abroad doing a lot of aid work. And I always wonder, it's such all-encompassing work, and it takes you away from the United States for many months at a time. And it's stressful and even traumatizing being in a war zone. Has the work that you've done in places like Afghanistan, has it come at any cost to you?
You know, I tell people I should certainly have a better bank account than I do. I will always have to work. I'll always have to count my pennies. And that's okay.
Emotional cost?
I will always work. Emotional cost? No, I'm richer for it. And the truth of it is that I'm richer all around because of the work I do. And I am, you know, I tell people this all the time. As sappy as it sounds, I'm the richest person I know.
You know, but I'm wondering because in that excerpt where Elsa's talking to the children and she says, I don't have any children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is the same true for you?
That's true. I don't have children.
Does it matter?
If I had children and a family here, I wouldn't be able to go away and do this work. And I think, I mean, I really believe that we all have whatever jobs we have in life, that we do have roles that we're supposed to do and do really well. If I had children, I wouldn't be able to go. And a scene like that in the book actually did happen in Afghanistan. I was always followed by children. And when I told them one day that if I had children at home, I wouldn't be able to come, they all muttered together and then looked at me and said, well, then don't have children because you should just stay here.
Well, Roberta Gately, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for having me. This has been great.
Roberta Gately is the author of Lipstick in Afghanistan. You can read an excerpt from her novel. It's on our website, radioboston.org.